भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम द नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड फर्दर कंसिडरेशन ऑफ डिवोशनल प्रिंसिपल्स विल रीड one limb of the devotional service, going to the temple of Vishnu or to place of pilgrimage. It is stated in the Puranas, persons who attempt to visit the holy places of pilgrimage like Vrindavan, Mathura or Dwarka are actually glorified. By such travelling activities, they can pass over the desert of material existence.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya.
Hare Krishna. So Srila Rupa Goswami continues to explain about the different limbs of devotional service, and he speaks about visiting the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By visiting the temple, by entering inside the temple of the Lord, it is said that one will not enter into the womb of a mother. That means he will no more have material bodies simply by entering inside the temple. That is the power of visiting the holy place. We see in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami, when he speaks about practicing any limb of devotional service, many times he connects the results of practicing devotional service to mitigating the miseries of this material existence. Because that is very important. Just because we enter inside the womb of the mother, therefore we receive unfold miseries. And people are experiencing that. So here, simply by entering inside the temple of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, he is guaranteed that he will no more again enter in the womb of the mother. And when we come inside the temple, there are many limbs of devotional service. Like we discussed about offering obeisances to the Lord, following the Lord's Ratayatra card. So Rupa Goswami explains. Next he talks about circumambulating the temple of the Lord Vishnu. When we go around the temple of the Lord, this is the procedure followed in all our temples, in the traditional temples. There are facilities where you go around the temple. Of course, when Srila Prabhupada established the temple all over the world, he didn't get the exact structure of the temples. It was an emergency to establish the temple and preach Krishna consciousness from there. But wherever he had the facilities to establish a traditional temple, he created the facilities where people could go around. And there was mostly established preaching center, and he gave them the holy name. But one of the important principle in the temple worship is that devotees always go around. Prabhupada writes, at least three times one should circumambulate the temple of Lord Vishnu. And by going around the temple of Lord Vishnu, what happens? That one stops the cycle of repetition of birth and death. A living entity is circumambulating punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janane jatare shayanam. That is coming to this material world and is giving up his body, again is coming back, again is dying. This cycle of repeated birth and death, it continues. So therefore, when somebody offers the circumambulation to the Lord minimum three times, what happens? That it does not come back to this material world. And Srila Prabhupada explains that especially in India during Chaturmasya, people, especially the sadhus, they go around different holy places. But when Chaturmasya comes, they stop. And during Chaturmasya, when someone specially circumambulates the Lord, just going around a temple, you see, in India that was a special tradition. When the Chaturmas starts, the katha become intensified. People have more kathas. Because in the rainy season, people have nothing to do. What they would do? They would come and hear about Krishna. Because they don't have to travel anywhere. The sadhus would stay at one place and they would conduct kathas more and more, morning and evening, within the temple campus. And then those devotees would come inside the temple. It is natural that they would go around the temple, circumambulate. And Rupa Goswami explains that one who circumambulates the Lord during the Chaturmas, then that circumambulation of the Lord's form is as good as visiting the holy place which are situated on the bank of the Ganga. All the holy places, either on the bank of Ganga or Jamuna, are considered to be most holy. Like Vrindavan is on the bank of Jamuna, Mayapur is on the bank of Ganga, Haridwar, Rishikesh, they emanate from Ganga, they are from on the bank of Ganga. So just by going around the temple, what happens that one gets the benefit of going to all these holy places. And then greater benefit is there that one will not circumambulate the cycle of repeated birth and death. And then Srila Rupa Goswami explains about Archana. Archana means worship of the deities. One of the very important ang of devotional service, very important limb of the devotional service. By worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that such a devotee of the Lord, the first thing what happens is that one is freed from the identification with this material body. One of the important principles is that one gradually develops detachment from the feeling of I am this material body. And that is the biggest contamination. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam, when the living entity comes to this material world, the spiritual spark, we are all spirit soul. But when the spirit soul comes in contact with the matter, then without he realizing, it develops attachment. The contamination takes place. And as this connection between the spirit and matter creates very strong knot within the heart. And because of that knot, a living entity which is spiritual in nature starts identifying himself with the body, with the material body, and everything which is related to this matter. Strong identification is developed. I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. So how is that? How is it possible for a soul which is spiritual in nature to develop detachment? Because the knot is very strong. And therefore the deity worship gives that facility. When someone is worshipping the Lord, Archana, Archana means worshipping the Lord in his deity form. By simply worshipping the Lord in his deity form, without even we realizing, what happens? One starts developing detachment from this material body. One of the powerful methods, those who specially worship the Lord, they can actually experience whenever they go for the market, even if it is meant for buying for their own family, if they see nice flowers, what they think? They don't think about decorating themselves. They don't think of decorating some ordinary human being. Rather, immediately their mind says, okay, this flower looks very beautiful at the lotus feet of the Lord. It can decorate the turban of the Lord. Or if you find nice cloth, rather than thinking about using it for himself, even a regular devotee, not even an advanced devotee, even a practicing devotee can feel that, okay, this can be used for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means, very quickly, within no time, he starts developing detachment from the matter. Otherwise, developing detachment from the matter is not a very easy thing. Even after discussing long philosophical dissertation, one actually comes to the point of seeing the difference between the matter and the spirit soul, one fails. But the process of deity verse is so strong. The example is given, we were discussing yesterday, that just like we have coconut, and the coconut, you know, the shell is connected to the coconut pulp. It is not very easy to separate the pulp from the shell. It's very hard. But simply by the process of drying the coconut, when the water inside the coconut dries up, and you just by keeping it for a long time, you can see the difference. You can shake it, and you can hear the voice that the pulp is separated from the shell. Similarly, one can experience by practicing devotional service, especially in the form of worshipping the deity, one can experience, it will make a sound, the soul is separated from the body. It is the realization of the practitioner that I am not this material body. Therefore, when he realizes that I am not connected to this material body, I am separate from this material body, he does not fear any situation. Fearfulness is caused because we do not know what will happen in the future. And one who knows about the future, about his identity, he realizes that I am not connected to this material body, it becomes much easy for a devotee. Therefore, he does not fear any situation, even though staying very close to the sea. We are just less than 1 kilometer. Now, those who are not devotees, they can imagine and fearful, they become fearful. Oh, anything can happen to us. But the devotees of the Lord are not fearful. Why? Because they realize, even a practicing devotee can experience courage in the most difficult situation. And that comes about by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Either coming to the temple by worshipping the Lord, or establishing the temple in one's own home. And Srila Prabhupada explains, just by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple, what happens? That one attains to the Vaikuntha planet. One goes back to the spiritual world. And Srila Rupa Goswami quotes Sudama Brahman. When Sudama Brahman, he approached the Supreme Lord. And Sudama was a friend of the Lord. After discussing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead for some time, when Sudama was going back, Krishna did not award anything to Sudama. He didn't receive anything. He went empty-handed. The whole desire of his wife was that I should get something so that I can nourish my children, nourish my husband. They were living such a poverty-stricken life. Sudama came, he gave gifts to the Lord. When he was coming back, he did not regret his visit to the Lord. He didn't feel that my mission is failed. I came to the Lord, but he didn't give me anything, so let me change my friendship to some other demigod. No, rather he was feeling grateful. He said, simply by worshipping the Supreme Lord, whatever heavenly planets can award, whatever the sutala planets can award, whatever the opulence in the earthly planet can one receive, all the opulence of all the planet are received simply by worshipping the Supreme Personality of God. And I am so fortunate that I have the facilities to render service to the Supreme Personality of God. He had that full conviction. So this conviction comes by simply worshipping the Lord in his deity form. Therefore, Rupa Goswami recommends, because Krishna consciousness culture is not complete unless one includes the worship of the deities. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, for a Vaishnava there are multiple engagements. For a Vaishnava there is no chance to be bored by practicing devotional service. Sometimes we see some practitioners, because their goal is only one kind of process, there are no multiple engagements and they become restless. But in devotional service it is not like that. It gives unlimited facilities. There is wonderful darshan, there is nice facilities to worship the Lord, there is nice facilities to cook for the Lord, There are nice facilities to make garlands for the Lord. There are nice facilities to sew nice clothes for the Lord. So there are unlimited engagements. So therefore, devotional service is absolutely always exciting, never boring. So that deity worship allows that culture. Archana allows that culture to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in great, wonderful way. And then next item Srila Rupa Goswami explains about Paricharya. Paricharya means rendering service. Again, Paricharya is also part of deity worship. If you go to in the traditional temples, like if you go to Banke Bihari in Vrindavan, or if you go to Ranganath temple, there are different sevites. Those who are not directly worshipping the Lord in the Garbhagraha, in the sanctum sanctorium. But these devotees, they are doing extra services. They may not be directly worshipping, but during the summer season, you know, they have these ropes. And they sit outside the Garbhagraha, and they swing the rope. By pulling rope back and forth, inside the altar, there are traditional fans, where a devotee is allowed to fan the Supreme Personality of God. Or if you go to Mayapur, now there are, other than the pujari, they are holding the umbrella for the Lord. Or they are using the chamara whisk to fan the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, there are additional services rendered by anybody to actually worship the Lord within the Garbhagraha. One has to receive Brahman initiation, then he has to enter inside and perform all kinds of the puja. But this kind of service anybody can do. Anybody is allowed. One can sing for the Lord, one can fan the Lord, one can make nice garland for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada explains, Paricharya means just like when a king is appointed, when a person becomes a king, then what does he receive? He receives all kinds of services. There are servants who are fanning him. There are servants who are carrying insignia for saying that, okay, he is the king. And there are people holding umbrella for him. And there are people singing his glories. So this is called as Paricharya. So Krishna is much greater than any king. He is the absolute truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we can imagine how much facilities we can create to worship the Lord. Many years back, one Vaishnava sannyasi wanted to offer a nice diamond crown to Lord Krishna in Udupi. And that was the time when there was a big cyclone in Andhra Pradesh. And this person was collecting huge money, this sannyasi was collecting money to give crown to the Lord. And there was a big uproar in the newspapers. Now how could he spend so much of money? How could he spend so much of money on putting some crown for a statue? Why not divert all that funds to helping poor people? Of course, it's not wrong to help. But the point is to, they were thinking that it is a statue made of stone. And the saintly person said, your understanding itself is wrong. It's atheistic. Because one king of this earthly planet, India, how big is India? It's not so big. So when Indian president or prime minister has to go to some other country, one visit, it includes all of his paraphernalia, his secretaries, his servants, his cooks. One visit, they spend crores and crores of rupees. And what is he? He's an ordinary person. He's a fallible person. Anytime, death can catch him. So if we can spend so much of money on an insignificant person, even during such a situation, just like if any prime minister or the boss of the prime minister of India has to visit some places, even if they have to visit to such places, they spend crores of rupees for their security. Why not spend that money for feeding the people and taking care of them? No. By the whole system itself, he deserves all those facilities because he is the prime minister or he is the president. Even in this situation. So you can imagine how much more is required to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is the benefit? It is not that the Lord is receiving the benefit. The Lord is, He is always satisfied. One who worships the Lord and one who sees that worship, they don't have to receive another material body. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, tomorrow is His disappearance day, He would explain that to preach Krishna consciousness and to give service of Krishna to others is much greater service than we can perform for this material body. Why? Because by serving the Lord, you will not get any more material body. We need all these kind of services, the relief work, you know, helping people. Why? Because we have this material body. So if we give the facility where you don't get the material body, then there is no need of relief work. So therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness is to give facilities for the people so that they will have no more material bodies. And here, Rupa Goswami explains that anybody who worships Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, either through archana or through paricharya, he does not receive any material body. And in the fourth canto it is explained, Prithu Maharaj, he is explaining that by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when we serve Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such service to the Supreme Lord, what does it do? It allows one to minimize the miseries of material existence. Again, miseries are caused because of our identification. Just like we see, lakhs of people are dead. But because people don't identify with any of these people, they are not related to them. So therefore there is no pain. Yeah, we may feel for them, we may feel sorry for them, but it does not change our life, unfortunately, because we don't have compassion also. So because there is no identification, there is no pain. And if there is identification, even if a person is 90 years old, then we experience pain. So identification is the cause of one's suffering in this material world. If there is no identification, there is no pain. Therefore, we will see, even though lakhs of people are dead, on the 31st December, parties will not be lessened. People will continue to spend more and more money. Yesterday we were discussing during the 11th crash in America when thousands of people were dead. What did the American president, you know, he talked to the subject of America. He said, consume more, enjoy more. Let us increase the economy of America. If you don't buy more, if you don't consume more, then the economy will collapse. So even in that situation, he was calling upon the people of America to enjoy more and more. He said, don't worry about that. Our economy should keep on increasing. So similarly, even though such disasters happened, you don't find that people will minimize their sense gratification. Maybe very few people, they may give in the newspaper, oh, this is not good, this is disastrous, I would not going to go for any parties. But others will continue to enjoy. Why? Because no identification with the material body does not make you just like those who have died there. And people, those who want to enjoy, they are not identifying with the dead. Therefore, they will continue to enjoy. Nothing will deter them from enjoying their sense gratification. Otherwise, there are so many disasters that have taken place in the history of mankind. Within 100 years, within 500 years, within 1000 years. And you don't find sense gratification being reduced. But only when a person engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the its own nature, the service of Krishna is so great, by the culture of practicing devotional service itself, one naturally gives up. He does not give up. Naturally, automatically, he develops detachment from enjoying this material body. He does not feel any good about enjoying this material body. Therefore, devotional service is so important. And then Rupa Goswami speaks about singing. When we come to the temple, when we see the Lord, when we offer prayers, we go around the temple. So temple is not the place where you just come and sit. Temple is the place where you come and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And glorification of the Lord is done by many means. And one way is to glorify the Lord is by singing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes we see that people say, why are you creating this nuisance? When Srila Prabhupada was building the temple in Juhu, you know, he submitted the forms to the government saying that we are opening a temple. And one so-called officer, he was not willing to give permission. Why? He said, your temple will create nuisance. What is the nuisance? Kirtan is nuisance. And if you hear lectures of Srila Prabhupada which he gave during those times, he became very upset and angry. He said, how can Kirtan be nuisance? Kirtan is meant for glorifying the Lord. Kirtan is meant to purify our heart. And this person is calling Kirtan as nuisance. And so many nuisances are going on. But he calls Kirtan as nuisance. And because Prabhupada of his conviction and determination, he got the permission and Krishna Kirtan is continuously going on. Similarly here also, so many people, they try to stop the Kirtan. Oh, you are creating a lot of nuisance. One person says that, oh, your chanting is the pollution of the sound. It's a sound pollution. But only this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This sound vibration is so powerful, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that it can wash up all our sinful activities. Therefore, anybody has the ability to sing. He is only supposed to sing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If anybody has the abilities to sing and he sings mundane song, then he will be condemned by the material nature. We see in the story of Narad Muni. Narad Muni was a great singer in Gandharva Loka. And he was a great singer in Gandharva Loka and he was singing a cinema song. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Then Narad Muni, as a Gandharva, is singing a cinema song. That means he was singing mundane song as Upabharana Gandharva. And because he did that, he was cursed by the higher demigods. That because you are singing such nasty, ordinary song, you will be cursed as to be born in a lower family. So Prabhupada writes, anybody has the facility to sing, he has to only sing for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise that singing is the manifestation of one's lusty feeling. In the Manu Samhita it is explained that singing, dancing and playing on musical instrument, if all these things are not directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that singing, that chanting, that playing of musical instrument is nothing but exhibition of one's lust. But that same singing, dancing and playing of the musical instrument, when it is directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such a singer, even though he may not know any philosophy, simply by singing for the Lord, he goes back to the spiritual world. Therefore, Narad Muni was an ordinary singer in his last life. Then he became an ordinary person. And being an ordinary person, he associated with the great souls, Bhakti Vedantas. And by their association, again he revived back his original culture of singing. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, what does he do? He always carries his veena. And he's going around all the planets, up to the Vaikuntha Loka, singing on his veena. And what does he chant? He always chants the glories of Radhika Ramana. He chants the glories of Shishi Radha and Krishna. Therefore, singing is very important. Music is very important. And especially that music, when it is applied to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such music will certainly cause our liberation. And the next item Rupa Goswami speaks about, Sankirtan. Sankirtan means glorifying the Lord. And there are three kinds of Sankirtan. One is Naam Sankirtan, second is Lila Sankirtan, and third is Guna Sankirtan. Naam Sankirtan means chanting the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this chanting of, this glorification of the Lord first begins with chanting, congregational chanting, Naam Sankirtan. So in this Naam Sankirtan, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that anyone who can chant the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, even if one's sins are of the sins of millions of lifetime, but the holy name is so powerful, even one holy name can eradicate the sins of millions of lifetimes. It may appear to be very fantastic and exaggerated, but unless we experience it, we cannot understand it. Just like the story of Ajamil, there was no extent, you could not even calculate how much sinful activity he performed. But one holy name, not even directly chanted, whatever Ajamil chanted, it was not even a direct holy name. Srila Prabhupada explains that when Ajamil was performing his sinful activities, how was he performing his sinful activities? He was performing his sinful activities by his body, by his words, and by his mind. Kaya, Vacha, and Manasa. So therefore three Yamadutas came. And these Yamadutas are very powerful. They are like equivalent to all police force of Bombay. Three Yamadutas. So these three Yamadutas came because he was performing his sinful activities by his mind, his body, and words. But then Ajamil, in that desperate condition, accidentally, not even consciously, accidentally chanted the names of the Lord, Narayan. And that name was related to his son. And when he chanted that name, Narayan has got four words, four Vishnu Dutas came. So Prabhupada explains that even if you perform millions of sinful activities, you know, three people are enough. But just see, one name of Lord Narayan, four Vishnu Dutas came. They came to take him back to the spiritual world. They tried to save Ajamil from Yamadutas. And Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that even if you want to commit so many sinful activities, still the holy name, one holy name is so powerful that it is cannot be equaled. Even if you desire to commit so many sinful activities, the name is so powerful. Therefore, chanting the names of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada went to America, and what did he do? He just gave the holy name. Because holy name is very, very powerful. We don't realize it. The power of the holy name is not realized even by the practitioner. Just like a diseased person cannot realize the effect of a small tablet. A tablet may appear to be very small, but there are some tablets which are very, very powerful. Just like we see homeopathic tablets, very small, very, very tiny, but they can cure so many diseases. But the person who is taking it, he cannot realize, he does not realize the power of the medicine. Similarly, we do not realize the power of the holy name. Therefore, even though we may not realize the power of the holy name, but if we put trust in the words of the spiritual master and Srila Rupa Goswami and continue to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then what will happen? Then we will attain the spiritual realm of the Vaikuntha planet. And the next, Rupa Goswami talks about Lila Sankirtan. Lila Sankirtan means discussing the Katha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he quotes Srila Prahlad Maharaj. When Lord Narasimha appeared in the arena of Hiranyakashipu's palace, he had already killed Hiranyakashipu, and Lord Narasimha was very fierce. Nobody could pacify him. And Prahlad Maharaj started pacifying Lord Narasingadev. And after Prahlad was able to pacify the Lord with his beautiful prayers, one of the prayers Prahlad explains that, my dear Lord, that you are the dearmost well-wisher of the living entities. And when I chant your Leela, your Katha, in the association of devotees, what will happen? By remembering your pastimes, by remembering the holy Katha in the association of devotees, all of my contamination will be eradicated. And then I'll experience greater bliss hearing your Katha in the association of devotees who are completely free. They are like Hamsas. Hamsa means swan. Swan has the ability. Again, we cannot imagine. When the milkman, he brings milk along with a lot of water in it. We don't have the abilities to, you know, separate the milk from the water. We buy it, grumbling, kitna pani dala isme. But we can't do anything about it. We have to just buy. But this swan has developed the culture. The swan has developed the ability that you bring milk to the swan. What does the swan do? Swan can actually separate the water from the milk. So similarly, the Paramhamsas, by regularly hearing Katha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though they live in this material world, they cannot receive any contamination. Contamination does not affect them. Therefore, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Suta Goswami was asked by all the sages of Naimisharanya, what is the essence of all this scripture? What one is supposed to do based upon the instructions of the scripture? And Suta Goswami gave in conclusion, Tasmad ekena manasa Bhagavan Satvatam prati Shrotavya kirtitavyascha Dheya pujascha nityada. Prabhupada explains, these are the four occupations for all caste and creed. What is it? Glorification, remembering, worshipping and hearing. Hearing, glorifying, remembering and worshipping. These are the common activities. And even most insignificant person, when he is glorified sufficiently by the media, he becomes most famous. Yesterday we were discussing, one of our devotees has got this one film based upon the food habits of American people. By eating junk food, what kind of disease that they are getting, and how junk food is propagated so systematically. They spend billions of dollars in advertising and how people buy them. And he was explaining, they took some kids belonging to age group of 5 to 10 years old, and they were showing them different pictures, and they showed the picture of Jesus Christ, and they said, do you recognize this person? And all the kids, they said, we can't recognize. They could not recognize Jesus Christ. And before that, they showed the picture of George Washington, the first president of America. Amongst 10 boys, 8 boys could not recognize. And when they showed the cartoon of McDonald, everybody said, yeah, we recognize him very well. They were ecstatic, jumping. So you can see, Prabhupada explains, even an insignificant, not even real character, even an imaginary character, by enough propaganda, he becomes most famous. An insignificant person is made significant for nobody's good. Even the person is glorified and the people who are glorifying him, both do not get any benefit. So therefore, when all this is diverted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when glorification is diverted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what does it do? It destroys all our connection to the material body. Therefore, here, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that such devotees of the Lord who are constantly hearing your kathas, they are like swans, they are like hamsas. They are in this world, but not of this world. They are like lotus flower. One develops waxy surface to one's consciousness, and no contamination can affect him. So even though he is surrounded by so many wrong kind of people, it does not affect him. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he was in America, one person asked him, when he was driving Srila Prabhupada in a taxi, seeing a Swami, he said, "Swami, what mystic activities can you perform? Can you, you know, lie down on the bed of nails?" He was asking many questions to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "No, I can do better mystic activities." He said, "I can be surrounded by so many beautiful women, but I will not be disturbed." And the taxi man said, "Oh, that is really great miracle. That is much greater miracle than all this miracle which are performed." So that is the potency of a devotee, one who is constantly hearing about Krishna. He becomes like a Paramahamsa. He has the ability to differentiate or actually divide or change water from milk. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying that simply by hearing from such a devotee, which is coming in the parampara, coming from Lord Brahma. Again, glorification of the Lord has to be done and heard, which is the parampara system, not manufactured one. Like one time there was a sadhu sammelan, and many sadhus were speaking. Some were speaking complete nonsense, speaking all maya philosophy. And it was Prabhupada's turn. Prabhupada asked his disciples to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Devotees took the mridang and kartal and they started chanting Hare Krishna. And instantly all the crowd, which were bored, almost sleeping, when they heard the Hare Krishna mantra, they raised. They started jumping and dancing. It was very ecstatic. And seeing another sadhu, he became very envious. Oh, he attracted all the crowd. And he manufactured instantly one mantra. And he started chanting some, you know, manufactured mantra, which made everybody feel, what is this strange one? Nobody was following him. And then Prabhupada stopped him, and again he took over and made everybody chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if somebody chants a mantra which is manufactured, that will also not benefit. It has to be coming from the parampara system, coming from Lord Brahma. And Prahlad Maharaj says this, and my dear Lord, that the glorification which is coming in the parampara system from Lord Brahma, I will take those prayers and chant them. And Prabhupada explains the prayers like Brahma Samhita, Narada Pancharatra, and the compilation of Sukadeva Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam. When we continue to recite these prayers, sing Leela Kirtan, then slowly, slowly all of our contamination is eradicated. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj, Nivritta Tarshara Upagiyamana, that those who are done with material life, they can hear about Krishna. And those who are still on the material platform, diseased people, they can also hear about Krishna. Everybody can hear about Krishna. By hearing about Krishna, one becomes more intensified in his devotional service. And if somebody is diseased materially, he can also attain perfection. So Prabhupada, during his departure, during his last days, he would always quote this shloka, Nivritta Tarsya Rupagiyamana Bhavavashi Chotraka Manobi Ramat. He said, what medicine you can offer me? He said, real medicine is, you keep on talking about Krishna. You keep on speaking about Krishna Katha. And again, hearing about Krishna, Krishna Katha is so powerful. We don't realize it. But if we make the attempt of practicing the process of chanting the names of the Lord and hearing about Krishna, then what will happen? Within no time, we will attain greater taste for the Lord, greater taste for His Katha, and we will prepare ourselves to live this material body for good. And the next Rupa Goswami talks about Guna Sankirtan, speaking about the qualities of the Lord. One is Naam Sankirtan, one is Lila Sankirtan, and third is Guna Sankirtan. Guna means the qualities of the Lord. And Rupa Goswami quotes from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Vyasadeva is conversing with Narad Muni. And what did Narad Muni say to Vyasadeva? Because he compiled all the scriptures, there were four Vedas, Vedanta Sutra was there, 108 Upanishads were there, he compiled all the Itihasas, he compiled 18 Puranas. With all of this compilation, Vyasadeva was not satisfied. Why was he not satisfied? Because all of his compilation was not aimed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Narad Muni told Vyasadeva, idhanya pumsam tapasa shrutasya va swistasya shuktasya cha buddhi dattayo. So Vyasadeva was told by Narad Muni that, my dear Vyasadeva, whatever faculty the Lord has awarded you, ability to perform charity, ability to read the Vedas, abilities to understand the spiritual knowledge, all the faculties which the material body receives along with one's karma should be doubted in glorifying the attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because your compilation, they lack the attribution, the glorification of the attribution of the Lord, therefore there is no satisfaction. And Prabhupada explains that however one tries to be satisfied in this material world, it is not possible. Even if the living entities, even if the scientists are able to create permanent life in this material world, one will not be satisfied. Why? Because permanency is not in this world. Eternal soul wanting to be living permanently in this world itself is artificial. You can imagine, even if they are able to successfully invent something like that, where a material body is going to stay for the rest of eternity, it's quite boring. Just because there is death, it's an exciting thing that we don't stay for a long time. You can imagine, a poor man, if he gets that facilities to live for rest of eternity, it's a curse upon him. It's not, at least he's expecting that, okay, this life is only 50, 60 years old, I will not continue to live. Just like the story is there of the Bhartruhari. Bhartruhari received a nice fruit from one Brahmana, one poor Brahman. He received this fruit from one demigod or a Siddha Yogi. He said, if you eat this fruit, then you will remain immortal. You will never experience death. He became scared. He said, this is not benediction, this is curse. I am already poor. And on top of that, if you give me this fruit, and if I am unfortunate, if I eat this fruit, my suffering will be unlimited. He said, I don't want this fruit. So he came and gave it to the king. King Bhartruhari, he had all the opulence. And Bhartruhari said, if I eat this fruit, I will experience suffering of separation of my relatives and friends. And he was attached to one prostitute, Pingala. He said, actually she was not prostitute, she was his wife, but her behavior was not very good. But he was very attached to her. He said, I cannot eat this fruit. If I eat this fruit, then I will stay and she will die, and that will give me great pain. Just see. So immortality was awarded to them. Now the scientists are trying to become immortal, but already that facility was there, but he rejected. He gave it to his wife. He said, you eat this fruit. And she said, why should I live? Because this lady was attached to somebody else. He said, let him live, I don't want to live. And this man was not attached to her, he was attached to some ordinary woman, prostitute. He said, why should I live? If I live and my friend dies, then what is the use of living? So he gave that fruit to that prostitute. And that lady said, why should I live? Already I am living such a corrupt and sinful life. And why should I make my life eternally corrupt and sinful? So she brought back that fruit to the king. Said, you eat this fruit. And the king could understand the whole cycle. Then he cursed everybody. He said, diktamcha. Dhikkar, you know, hell with this whole kama, the lusty desire. Diktam cha, he said, hell with my wife, hell with the prostitute, hell with myself. And he destroyed that fruit. So the point is that even if somebody receives the facilities to live permanently in this material body, he will not live. He will desire to commit suicide. Because this is not the platform, this is not the place where we desire to live eternally. The desire is there to live eternally, but this is not the place. So therefore, it is explained by Narad Muni to Vyasadeva that because you have not spoken about the glories of the Lord, the attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is despondency. So despondency will be there. Prabhupada explained that even if you create all facilities, despondency will be there. Why despondency? Which people don't understand, because they don't have the understanding of spirituality. But even if somebody is most miserable, but if he has the facilities to hear about Krishna, hear about the qualities of Krishna, then even in the most miserable situation, we have told this story before also. When the first two students, they came to India looking for Guru and God, the American student, when they came to India, they came to Rishikesh. And when they came to Rishikesh, they saw one leper. You know, he was begging on the bank of Ganga. His whole body was totally bent because of leprosy. But they saw something, you know, special in him. He was murmuring something. And they went and they heard him. What was he doing? He was glorifying the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They immediately got the connection. They realized that this person is suffering to such an extreme degree, but still there is satisfaction. And here we are, Americans, coming from such a prosperous country. All facilities are there, but still we are not enjoying life. We are not happy. So the connection became very strong. So therefore here, Rupa Goswami explains that by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by glorifying the attributes of the Lord, in fact all the faculties, all our propensities, when it is properly doubted, Prabhupada explains the culture of knowledge, the art, the music, the science, the literature, compiling of all different kinds of books, has to be targeted towards what? It should be targeted towards glorifying the attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then only a living entity becomes satisfied. It is not being narrow-minded. It is being hope-giving. A devotional service is not against happiness. Devotional service is against miseries caused by wrong kind of happiness. Srila Prabhupada never said that we are against enjoyment. We are against miseries which is caused by a wrong kind of enjoyment. So enjoyment can be experienced, one can actually perceive enjoyment by glorifying the Supreme Personality of God in the form of Sankirtan. Nam Sankirtan, Leela Sankirtan, and this Sankirtan of Krishna's qualities. This comes in the association of devotees. And then next, Rupa Goswami talks about chanting Hare Krishna mantra in the form of japa. What is the difference between japa and Sankirtan? Prabhupada said japa is for one's own sake. One chants for oneself. One sits in a solitary place, or even though one is sitting in the association of devotees, he is trying to hear his own name, Hare Krishna mantra. Taking out the beads and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That is called as japa. Solitary chanting. And Sankirtan means where big number of people come together in congregation, and either they chant the names of the Lord, Hare Krishna mantra, or they sing the glories of the Lord, converse with each other, Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Paraspara Katayantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Charamantecha, or they come in big group and discuss about Krishna's attributes, Krishna's qualities and Krishna's pastimes. That is called as Sankirtan. So Rupa Goswami also puts one limb of devotional service as chanting Hare Krishna mantra in the form of japa. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then next week we will discuss very important submission. Submission means vigyapti in Sanskrit. Vigyapti means just like we submit our form for a job. You have to submit a form. So similarly, vigyapti means submitting oneself in the presence of the Lord. There are different kinds of submission. This is one of the most important part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which talks about how to submit to the Lord. There is samprarthanatmika prayers. That means asking for some spiritual perfection. And there is dainya bodhika. Dainya bodhika means being really humble in the presence of the Lord. When you are submitting your form, you know your boss. If your submission is quite humble, because if you want to work for someone, what do they see? They see your ability and they see your submission. How much he is willing to follow the authority. And the third one is asking for some specific service, lalasamai. So these three submission we will discuss in our next class. This is on the Wednesday. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. What we have learned, maybe it is not related directly to the class, what we have learned is that when Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of the mother, that time Hiranyakashipu was performing tapasya for a very long, some thousands of years he performed tapasya. And we also learned that when Prahlad Maharaj was 5 years old and then he was sent to school. And how do we relate this? That he was only 5 years old and then Hiranyakashipu performed tapasya for some thousands of years.
It's a technical question, but we can understand from the tapasya of, again, this is not this question. If you see from his thousands of year tapasya, because in Satyayuga lifespan is 1 lakh years, right? So from that point of view, 5 years can be many more years than the earthly, the present calculation. You understand the point? Hiranyakashipu in Satyayuga lifespan is 1 lakh years. In earthly planet, now in Kali Yuga it's only 100 years. So even though he performed tapasya for many years, we don't know what 5 years they are talking about. The 5 years, which Prahlad Maharaj's 5 years, you know, doesn't mean that 5 years of the earthly calculation. It could be the calculation of the Satyayuga. That means 5 years must be, you know, even five, it can be 500 years also. So therefore the technicalities, see, Bhagavad does not give much importance to the technicalities. Bhagavad is meant for already those who have conviction about the what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Therefore in the very beginning it is explained. That one who hears the knowledge, of course, I am not, questioning your question. But the point is, Bhagavad already expected, okay, you have already gone through all these smaller technicalities and accept the essence of the Bhagavad. What is the essence? The essence of the Bhagavad is performing devotional service to the Lord. Just like in the 5th canto, if you hear the fantastic description in the 5th canto, it may cause confusion. No, what is this? It appears to be very imaginary. And our Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, explains that part of the Bhagavatam. This was told by Bhakti Charu Maharaj in one Sunday lecture, that when you come to that part of the Bhagavatam, those who are still having some lack of confidence, you know, it's like a gate. Okay, this is the gate. You are not allowed to come inside. You'll be doubting. Oh, this is too much. I don't want to read any further. So, okay, you don't read because you are not made for it. So, Bhagavatam stops there. So therefore, when we read the Shastras, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, it is already understood that you have already crossed all this logical question. You'll find many more questions if you want to find like that. About, you know, Mother Revati's marriage with Balramji. Many, many such questions will come. Varas appearance, two Varas are there. And Parikshit Maharaj's birth in the womb of his mother, he stayed for 16 years. Then why didn't he grow? Or he grew so big as if he was, you know, quite elderly. So all these technicalities are not expected of those who are reading Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the point. That we already discussed that on the level of studying Bhagavad Gita. But when you study Bhagavatam, you have to just go on hearing. Otherwise, the analytical mind will stop you from experiencing powerful realization of Srimad Bhagavatam. So better not concentrate on the technicalities, but concentrate on the essence, the essential point of Prahlada's surrender, how Lord Narsingh's protection, how Hiranyakashipu was again protected by the Lord. That is our concentration. That's what is expected of a reader of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam does not talk about any technicalities. Then for that technicalities, then we have to go to other scriptures. You know, Mahabharata goes in great details about discussing the elements of Mother Earth, talks about different modes of material nature in great detail, which is not there in the Bhagavatam so much. The second and third canto, they discuss, even that appears to be quite, you know, vast, and therefore people in fact jump from the third and second canto, they directly go to the fourth canto. And if you actually get the Sankhya philosophy, every word in Sankhya philosophy, there is no story in Sankhya philosophy. It's all analytical. So therefore it is expected if you have that kind of interest, first study Sankhya philosophy. Even the one air wind, it talks about 250 kinds of winds. One kind of fire, it talks about 100 kinds of fires. Analyzing every fire, how it is different from another fire, air, water. So all that analytical stuff are already there in the different scripture. But Srimad Bhagavatam only talks about the essence, the relationship between devotee and the Lord. But again, as I said, even if we make from that point of view, we are discussing the story of Satya Yuga. So what 5 years Sukadeva Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj can be the 5 years of Satya Yuga. If you read 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chitraketu marrying, how many? You can't even imagine. You know, lakhs and millions of wives. Nruga giving so much of donation in charity. Sukadeva Goswami says, as many sand particles were there on the earthly planet, that much charity he gave. And Prabhupada, what does he do? In essence, he says, that means he gave unlimited charity. That's a brilliant explanation. So therefore, when we read especially the Bhakti Shastras, we don't want to divert our mind from being technical. That facility Shastras give. You read Sankhya philosophy, you read Vedanta Sutra. When your mind is churned, because Vedanta Sutra and Sankhya philosophy is much complex than, you know, trying to go to the Mars or moon planet. They can do that. But to understand with this brain, the Kali Yuga brain, it is not possible. So therefore, what is the question raised by the sages in the Naimisharanya? Because in Kali Yuga, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Upadrata. Before asking that question, they gave the background of the people of this age of Kali. Less fortunate, have got less intelligence. So you explain to us what is the essence of all this scripture. And what did he say? Essence of all this scripture is that one should chant, one should glorify, one should remember, and one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you can imagine, Suta Goswami had studied all the scripture, and rather than going to all the technicalities, he said, this is the essence, because we are Kali Yuga people, we cannot understand. So therefore, when we study Bhagavatam, that is the standard, that he has understood the Shastra, and therefore he is giving the essence, and there are no conflict or there are no shortcomings in the scriptures, and we go ahead and simply hear the beautiful pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. Hare Krishna. Shila Prabhupada ki.